to the 10th chapter of Romans. Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness in going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise: Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Esaias saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the end of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Esaias is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, All day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. So far the reading of God's word. Our text is verses 14 and 15. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. May God bless the reading and the preaching of his word. Loved in the Lord Jesus, as a congregation, you are in the process of extending calls to ministers to come over and help you. And our passage lays before us the importance of that work. Our passage teaches us that No one can be saved without a preacher. Preaching is indispensable. One needs to call upon the name of the Lord. And in order to call upon the name of the Lord, one needs to believe in Christ Jesus. And in order to believe in Christ Jesus, one needs to hear Christ. He needs to hear Christ himself. There's no salvation from a preacher. We need to hear Christ himself. It is Christ alone who is able to make that which is dead alive. It is Christ alone who is able to turn a sinner from his ways to himself. That's the teaching of the text. We need to hear Christ. When you think of preaching, what do you think? For many today, preaching is outdated and outmoded. They would not think about having a second service on Sunday with preaching, for they say that will not bring the young people together. Many people don't want to come. So preaching is replaced with concerts, with songs, with dances, with liturgies. Preaching is seen as outdated and outmoded on the event, on the mission field, so that many missionaries, rather than preaching, are showing Jesus movies. And that is supposed to bring to faith. When they think of preaching, they think of some outdated mode. And rather than thinking of the words of our text, beautiful feet, their view is that of stinky feet. They don't want it. Out with the old, in with the new. What is your view of the preaching? No, not of a particular pastor, this one or that one, but what is your view of preaching? Do you say with the psalmist, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up to the house of the Lord, for there are beautiful feet there that bring the glad tidings of the gospel. Or do we sometimes at times also approach the preaching with a ho-hum? Let's see once what he has to say and perhaps leave the sanctuary with a feeling of stinky feet rather than beautiful feet. How often perhaps do we have also the idea in our minds, I can't wait to hear this person. I like to hear that person. And I know I have that feeling. I'm eager to hear the new students coming out of the seminary. But careful. What are we here to hear? The man or Christ? How beautiful, writes the Apostle Paul. How beautiful, says the Holy Spirit, are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Beautiful feet needed so that we may call upon the name of the Lord. Beautiful feet needed so that we may hear Christ. Notice then also the implications of this truth. We read in verse 11, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. The Apostle Paul begins this chapter with a lament. His heart's desire and prayer to God for his fellow kinsmen is that they might be saved. He could even wish himself a curse. That's the heart of a preacher. His desire was that they might be saved. The gospel goes out to all corners of the world, the Apostle Paul says, not only for Jew, but also for Greek. There once was a big difference, wasn't there? Once the word of God came by his prophets to his people Israel in the Old Testament dispensation. And it was Israel, with only a few exceptions, that was called to serve God and was known as God's people. But Jesus Christ came, he suffered and died on the cross, the wall of partition was broken down, and now the Lord Jesus calls his people from all the nations of the world. Beautiful feet are needed so that we might call on the name of the Lord. God gathers his elect people out of all the nations, and he is rich unto those that call upon him. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In your daily prayers, congregation, are you praying for the preaching of the gospel? Are you praying not only for your pastor, but are you praying for pastors, for missionaries that bring the gospel to distant lands? Are you praying the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth reapers? Are you praying and are you speaking to your young sons of the need for beautiful feet to bring the gospel so that we may call on the name of the Lord? For no one calls upon the name of the Lord in vain. Jesus says, all that the Father gives me shall come unto me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Calling upon the name of the Lord, we are saved. Not ashamed. That calling upon the name of the Lord in our passage is not merely worship when we come together as a congregation, but calling upon the name refers here, the Apostle Paul is referring to Joel 2, verse 32. That calling upon the name of the Lord is crying out to God for help, seeing that there is no other Savior. Calling upon the Lord means that we know our sin and our misery. We see our corruption. We see that we are in the mire of sin, and there's only death. There is no other helper, and we cannot get ourselves out of that sinking sand. And our eyes are lifted up to the one only who has a mighty hand and a stretched out arm and is able to save. Oh, child of God, that's what it means to call upon the name of the Lord, to know him as your Redeemer, your Savior. Confessing our sins, repenting of our sins, we flee to the cross of Jesus Christ for salvation. Oh, how beautiful. Verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But now the question comes, how shall we call on him in whom we have not believed? How is a person brought to that point, whether it be one of our sons or daughters in our home, a family member, or whether it be a pagan on a field far away from here? How is one brought to that point that he calls or she calls upon the name of the Lord? And the answer is faith. Faith is necessary. And how does one have that faith? That faith is worked by the preaching of the word. Faith comes by hearing. And that's why the Spirit celebrates here the beautiful feet needed that men and women and children may call upon the name of the Lord, for through the preaching, faith is worked in the heart and the life of God's elect. Do you see the need for beautiful feet here from week to week, that faith may be worked and faith may be strengthened in us, his children? Oh, do you realize the need for beautiful feet to run the course over oceans to different states to bring the gospel where it has not been before, that men and women and children may call upon the name of the Lord. Beautiful feet are needed to bring the gospel that works faith and that strengthens faith in our hearts. Beautiful feet are needed that we may hear Christ. We need to hear Christ Himself. Our text in the King James translation here is not translated the best it could be. Our text is not merely saying in that second phrase, how will they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? But in the original it says, how will they believe in Him whom they have not heard? What's the difference? We are currently quite far removed from one of our sons. It is good always to hear about him and how he is doing in his life, in his marriage, in his work. But it's far richer to hear him himself speak and talk about his life and his work. And that's the idea here in the passage. It's wonderful to hear about Christ. We hear about Christ from our parents, boys and girls. We hear about Christ from the Sunday school or the catechism teacher. We hear about Christ from your Christian school teachers, and that's wonderful. And hopefully we hear about Christ from one another as we speak and testify of what the Lord has done for us. But as wonderful as it is to hear about Christ, it's far more wonderful to hear Christ in person speaking to us. As much as a young woman likes to hear letters about her husband who might be overseas, she'd rather have him in person whispering with his mouth right up to her ear, terms of endearment. How shall we believe in Him whom we have not heard? We need to hear Christ Himself directly. Christ says in John 5, verse 24 and 25, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Hearing Christ, there is the voice that is able to take that which was dead and make it alive. Think a moment of that beautiful vision there in the book of Ezekiel, the valley of dry bones. A mere man might say, I wish these bones were living, but a mere man cannot make those bones alive. It is Christ and Christ alone with His powerful word that is able to take that which is dead and make it alive, as that word was spoken in the beginning at creation. Let there be light, and there was light. It is Christ's voice and Christ's voice alone that is able to work and impart life in the heart of a dead sinner. We need to hear Christ. Again, in John chapter 10, we read in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. That's the desire of God's people. That's the need of God's people, to hear Christ Himself. Christ saves. Christ gathers His elect out of all the nations. Christ works faith. Christ imparts forgiveness. Christ gives the joy of salvation. Who can believe in Him whom they have not heard? It is Christ and Christ alone who can speak and give life. Have you, O child of God, heard Christ Himself? Have you heard experientially Christ saying to your soul, "Come unto Me"? And have you identified with those who are called, "Come unto Me, ye who are weary and heavy laden, burdened down with a burden of guilt, filled with the sorrow of death, the house with sickness or pain"? And the Savior comes and you hear His voice. Oh, the sheep love the voice of His shepherd who cares for them. "Come unto Me, and I will give thee rest." Beautiful feet are needed that we may hear Christ. For this text says we hear Christ through men. Christ doesn't speak somehow in our hearts with some kind of a still small voice, so each one gives a testimony of what Christ has said to him or her. But rather, we read in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21, that God is pleased to save through the foolishness of preaching, as they laughed in the day of the Apostle Paul. Foolishness of preaching. Don't you hear, King Agrippa, kind of laughing? You think that you can convince me in such a short time to become a Christian? So still today, sad to say, by churches, preaching is seen as such a weak tool, so foolish that it should be discarded. And yet God is pleased to save through the foolishness of preaching. For our text says, doesn't it? How will we believe on Him whom we have not heard? And how will we hear without a preacher? To preach is to herald. It is to come and to proclaim not one's own word, to proclaim the word of one, of the one who has sent. The ambassador going to another nation doesn't bring his own thoughts or his own opinions, but he brings the word of the government that has commissioned him and authorized him to speak. And that's the concept here. How do we hear Christ? Through the herald, through the one whom Christ sends and appoints to bring His word. That means that preaching must be the word of Christ. The preacher may not bring his own thoughts, his own opinions, but he must bring the Scriptures, and the Scriptures alone. Adding nothing to it, taking nothing away from it, but saying, "Thus says the Lord." The herald brings the Word of God, the Scriptures, the Word of Christ. And he brings the Word about Christ. Whether he talks about the economy, whether he talks about sin, whether he talks about marriage and fidelity in marriage, always the word has to be about Christ. Christ who came into the world a Savior to save from sin. Christ who is the one who we are to honor with our marriages. Christ the one who enables us, strengthens us to live as godly men and women in an ungodly time. Christ whom we serve in our work, not our earthly masters. Preaching must be the word of Christ, the word about Christ. It must be a word of good news. Whether the sermon is an admonition, a against walking in sin. There must be the gospel there. The eyes must be turned away from our own navel gazing at our sinfulness up to the cross of Jesus Christ. There alone is salvation. There is hope. There is life. There is joy. That's what preaching is all about. Bringing the gospel of peace to those who have strayed in sin, to those, and that's every one of us, who every week again and again fall often in the same sin that we just confessed. And we say, "Oh, wretched man that I am." In the preaching, our eyes have to be directed to Christ Jesus so that we're able to say with the Apostle Paul, "But thanks be to God. I'm a sinner, but I'm reconciled through the blood of Jesus Christ. God is my Savior, my Redeemer." A word of good news. Glad tidings of good things. Though our sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow, red like crimson, all washed away. We need beautiful feet that preach the glad tidings so that we may hear Christ. Hear Christ through men. We hear Christ through men that are sent. In our text, when we say that they are sent, it means that they are ordered. They are commanded to a certain task and to a certain place. And the sender is Christ Jesus. And that's so important for us to see today and as a congregation, as you extend calls. It's Christ. Christ who authorizes and sends men with a task, but also to a certain place. How does he do that? Well, with the apostles, it was rather easy. He spoke to them. You got the Great Commission. Go. Go into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. They were sent. But how is it, boys and girls, that these men who preach Christ are sent by Christ today? Isn't it the congregation that votes? Isn't it through calls extended? Calls accepted, calls declined? And the answer is yes. It is Christ who sends men to a certain task and to certain places through the church. The congregation that prays, the congregation that votes, the congregation that extends a call. It's through such things as Article 11 or 12, dismissals, those things too, which are not pleasant things. Christ is in charge. Christ is sending. Christ is appointing under shepherds for his church. I wish that it was not necessary that we would have an Article 11 in the church order. It shouldn't be necessary, should it? If men are sent by Christ, the congregation receives the man sent by Christ. It shouldn't be necessary if ministers were humble, so that they're not only a herald of Christ, but also a servant of God's people. It shouldn't be necessary if a congregation understood that these are earthen vessels that Christ is pleased to use. And yet by sin, it is necessary at times, isn't it? And yet even through sinful conduct, misunderstandings, disagreements, there's a parting of the ways, yet it's Christ. Christ the Good Shepherd, who is caring for his flock. We have one illustration of that in the scripture, and that is with the missionary Paul and Barnabas. We have really a situation which becomes sinful. It's a question over young John Mark. We read in Acts 15 that Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them. Why? Because he departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. In other words, he had called it quits. John Mark had run away from the ministry. When the going got tough, he went running back to Mama. And between Paul and Barnabas, we read that the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other, so that Barnabas took Mark and Saul chose Silas. Now one would shake one's head at that and would say, that's sad. It was sad that those two men of God were so sharply divided, contending against each other, that they couldn't even work with each other. Sinful. Sinful contention. And you might argue here, who was right? Was the Apostle Paul right? John Mark had once ran away from the ministry, and so he didn't deserve another opportunity? Or was Barnabas right, the son of consolation, who says, no, this man can work, is important for the ministry. It's not important who is right, but what is important is to see how Christ used a sinful event. These two men, so bitterly divided against each other on this issue, God used that sinful contention for the spread of the gospel, so that rather than one team going out, two teams went out preaching the good tidings of the gospel. It is Christ who sends through the church men to a task, to certain places. And though Christ does that, though Christ uses and sends men, they are nothing. They really are nothing. Our eyes have to go beyond the men to the Christ that they preach, the Christ who speaks through them. Isn't that what the Apostle Paul says to the Corinthians? In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, when there was that contention in the church of Corinth, one said, I am of Paul. Another says, I am of Apollos. I am of Peter. Well, I'm of Jesus. Each trying to be better because they were following men. Paul says, who is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man, so then neither is he that planteth anything, he that watereth anything, but God that giveth the increase. Ministers are nothing. Beautiful feet that God is pleased to use to bring the gospel so that we hear Christ. But what is important is not the man, but the Christ. The Apostle Paul says, we are laborers together. What is important is God. God builds his church. We need to look past the man to see Christ. Again, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul says, we contain this treasure in earthen vessels. Look beyond the vessel to the Christ. So when we say, I want to hear so-and-so preach, be careful. Sure, we might have our favorites. We might have those that might be easier to listen to, whatever. God uses a variety of men with different talents, different abilities, but get beyond the man to hear Christ. That's our earnest desire. That's our need. How shall we believe in him whom we have not heard? How will we hear Christ but through the preacher that God is pleased to send? What are the implications, O child of God, with God's word here? For the church, the implication is, first of all, the preacher is indispensable. You are involved in a glorious task, extending calls. You need an under-shepherd to lead you from week to week in the green pastures of God's word. Desire that preaching. Don't neglect the purest preaching of that word. I am saddened when I hear members leaving our churches so easily because they're upset on this issue or that issue, going to other churches where there are important principles and doctrines neglected or even contrarywise taught. And you say, what gives? How can this be? Have they changed their thinking completely? Or are they willing to sacrifice the purest preaching of the word because I didn't get my way? How do we hear Christ? We need preachers. Preachers that are heralds of Christ, servants of God's people to bring the pure word of God's word. It means that we may not despise that preaching. It might be not be the most eloquent person. The Apostle Paul would compare himself to Apollos, who followed him in Corinth. Apollos was a rather polished speaker. Get beyond the preacher. If you despise the preaching, you despise Christ himself. What does it mean for the preacher? It means for the preacher that he must be very careful. The preacher has one calling, and that is that he must preach Christ's word, not adding to it, not subtracting. Woe to the man that ascends the pulpit to bring God's word if there's not some kind of trembling in his knees. Woe unto me, lest I bring only the word of Christ, not my own ideas. Whether I bring it carefully, whether I bring it boldly and powerfully. Careful. Careful to the preacher, lest he draw attention to himself rather than the Christ he preaches. It demands humility. Humility. There's strife between churches and pastors. The pastor is a servant of God's people and must be willing to do whatever he must to bring God's word to them from week to week. The Second Helvetic Confession says that the preaching of the word is God's word. It doesn't mean that our preaching is perfect. That's why there will be times when the pastor has to say, sorry. It means that we have elders that supervise the preaching of the word, insist on pure, faithful preaching. It means for the members of the church that they pray for and support their pastor in his awesome task. Pray for him. It's easy to criticize. As the Apostle Paul says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, and it's easy to see the faults, the cracks. It's easy to roast, preacher. Pray for your pastor when God gives you one. Support that pastor. Look beyond the instrument. Look beyond the man with his gifts and his faults. They're there. To hear Christ and live. How shall we call on the name of the Lord? How shall we believe? How shall we hear Christ? Through the preacher. A man called by Christ, authorized by Christ, with Christ's authority, bringing Christ's powerful word that works and strengthens faith. Amen. Father in heaven, in a time and an age in which many churches despise a man speaking for a long period of time, in a time in which preaching is seen as foolish, we're thankful for thy infallible, unchangeable word, a word that preachers need to hear, a word that the church needs to hear, that in the preaching we hear Christ. Bless this congregation, we pray, in thy time, and in thy wisdom, give them a man of thy choosing to bring the good tidings of the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.